Please open to Romans 12. Romans 12, we're going to look at verses 15 and 16 today. We're going to talk about rejoicing with those who rejoice. And next time, I exhort, we'll talk about weeping with those who weep. So let's look at Romans 12, 15 and 16 now. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Amen. Let me ask you today, do you rejoice with those who rejoice? Isn't it wonderful? It's one of the most wonderful things. I tell you, brothers and sisters coming, maybe you have something to rejoice about. Brothers and sisters coming alongside and rejoicing with you? Or maybe you see the mighty work of God that he's doing in a brother or sister, and you rejoice with them. It's building, it's edifying, it's encouraging. I mean, it makes what you're rejoicing about even better when brothers and sisters come alongside you. But sometimes, rejoicing with those who rejoice is hard, isn't it? Sometimes we don't want to do that. I recently heard of someone going on a 2-week cruise to the Caribbean. And when we hear that, what do we think? Praise God, that's wonderful. Have a great time. I'm thankful for what God's doing in your life. But have you ever thought, well, actually, I'd like to go on a cruise. I mean, I've never even been on a cruise. In fact, I haven't been on a vacation in years. In fact, I don't really like that you're going on a cruise. No, I can't rejoice with you. In fact, I'm not happy about this at all. See, this, what is this spirit? This spirit that tempts us is usually called envy. And it's so opposite of rejoicing with those who rejoice, isn't it? Selfishness creeps in and takes over any rejoicing in the joy that we should have for our brother. Or consider if you've been maybe praying for a job for many months. Maybe you're out of work and you've been searching for a job diligently. You just need a job, right? I've been there. And then you hear that this other brother, who wasn't even looking for a job, got a better job, and it just fell in his lap. He already had a job, but he just got a better job. And then the brother calls you to tell you of this news, and you find yourself struggling a little bit to rejoice with this brother. And the struggle even turns a little deeper to where you're even pretty confident that you're unhappy that this brother got the job. You know, Jonathan Edwards calls envy a spirit of dissatisfaction with the happiness of others compared with our own. He goes on to say that from such a spirit, the envious person stands ready to rejoice at anything that happens to diminish the honor and comfort of others. And that person is glad to see them brought down and will even study how to lower their estate. So envy, rather than rejoicing with others, is rejoicing against others. And envy is what prevents us from rejoicing. And it's bad, brothers and sisters. It's a clear sin before God. You know, in Galatians 5, in describing the works of the flesh, God places envy right alongside murder and wrath and hatred and adultery. And then envy. Wow. But it's in our interpersonal relationships, when we're called to rejoice, that the spirit of envy can really take hold. And it's not only destructive to relationships, but it's instructive in here too, in our hearts. Sometimes this manifests itself in a competitive spirit. Who would consider themselves competitive? Aha! Well, there's a lot. Well, then be warned, brothers and sisters. Because what if, I mean, there's so many scenarios. Let's say a young man gets accepted into a college that he's really been striving for. And another young man says, yeah, it's a waste of time. He doesn't deserve that. Or what if another young man finally goes and starts the business that he wants to start, and another says, that's not going anywhere? What kind of reaction is that? Or maybe a young lady's best friend enters into a relationship with a young man, and she's envious because she doesn't have such a relationship. And now she actually hopes the relationship doesn't work out. Oh. So rather than rejoicing, there's a disdain and an opposition to one another. There's a competition of sorts of who's best and what's right, a crushing rather than a building up. And so it is when God gives us something good. God gave us something good. Instead of rejoicing, sometimes we go, yeah! See? God might have given you something good, but he didn't give it to me! You know? And that's what we're left with, huh? But what if instead you go, praise God, brother. That's a good thing. Wow, look at what God's doing in your life. And you, brother, praise God for that. He has done a good thing. Wow, praise the Lord. I'm thankful what God is doing. Look at that. And look, brother. Let's see how high this thing can go. Okay, there we go. We'll leave it like that. So when God gives us something, how do we react? Like this or like this? You know what Colossians 2 says? I know you all know what Colossians 2 says. It says when we hold tight to the head, what's the result? An increase that comes from God. Not this, brothers and sisters. Joseph was envied by his brothers, wasn't he? Haman envied Mordecai, remember that? And of course, Saul envied David. 1 Samuel 18, the women sang a song. Can you imagine making a song? David has struck down thousands, but David has struck down tens of thousands. And Saul was very angry, and this displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they've ascribed thousands. What more can he have but the whole kingdom? And from that day, Saul eyed David, it says. But the worst part about not rejoicing with those who rejoice is the pain it inflicts on our own hearts, isn't it? The crushing of our own hearts. Not only are we left with a pile of broken, crushed cans, but envy opens the door to bitterness and hatred and selfish sorrow and even depression. Not rejoicing with others will just result in stealing your joy. And the problem is that you've really missed the opportunity to rejoice yourself. Because when another brother in the body rejoices over something, it's my rejoicing too. It's not just his. It's my rejoicing too. So don't walk around and say, well, there's nothing good's happening to me. I don't really have anything to rejoice about. No. Look around. Look for it. Look for what God's doing. And rejoice in that. But it's hard. And I want to turn a little serious for a moment. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to rejoice with others, isn't it? Sometimes the expectations of life take turns we didn't expect. Timing seems wrong, and rejoicing with others can be very difficult. Maybe you're in a place like my wife and I were about 20-some years ago. We were not able to have children for the first several years of our marriage. And it seemed like everyone around us was getting pregnant, of course. And envy was always a temptation knocking at the door. But you know what kept us going? It was God, as always, the lifter of our head. It was the admonition from the Lord to rejoice with those who were rejoicing. And the stacking of cans was healing to us. We turned from the crushing that we were inflicting to the building of love and rejoicing. So let me just leave you today with 3 points of how can we rejoice with those who rejoice. Number one, pray. Pray to God to give you his heart for the good things he's doing, that you may resist the lies of the world, the self, and the devil, and seek him for joy. In times when you're not feeling like rejoicing with others, cry out to God for his heart and keep calling out to him. Be that persistent widow of Luke 18 and keep calling to him for a joyful heart. Number two, love. Love does not envy, but rejoices in the truth. Be thankful and grateful for what God has done. This is your brother or sister. This is a good thing God has done. There's a similar admonition to today's passage comes from 1 Corinthians 12. And if one member suffers, then all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so we see that rejoicing is to be participated in the full context and understanding of the body of Christ. Right? The work God's doing in the body. So look at the bigger picture. Look beyond yourself. Back up for a moment. When envy is knocking at the door, see what the Lord is doing. Are you for the building and the growth and the increase of this body and Christ's kingdom? Is this your family? Is this your team? Then we all have something to rejoice in. God's doing multiple things to rejoice in all the time. As our text says, be of the same mind towards one another. Remember, God's a covenantal God. He operates in the oneness of the body. That's how he operates. The world operates where? In isolation and individualism. So I know when our son was born, Benjamin, my family was rejoicing. We're still rejoicing. And I hope you were rejoicing too. Because God didn't just give a baby to the Strasser family. Don't think like that. He gave a family to us. He gave a baby to this church. He gave a baby to the kingdom of God. He gave a baby to the church of Jesus Christ, of which today he'll become a member. And so I challenge you to think bigger. I challenge you to think beyond just what's happening in our world. We're all tempted to do that. So enter into what God is doing. So that's number two, love. Remember that love hopes all things, love believes all things. And lastly, number three, trust in the Lord. Rejoicing with the Lord will be a significant test of what we believe about the sovereignty of God and his plans for us. Remember, your heavenly Father is going to give you just what you need, right when you need it. Ephesians 1 says, in him we were chosen according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. See, the heart of a man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. If we talk a lot about the sovereignty of God, guess what? We have to walk in it and live in it, right? So eagerly await to see what God is doing. Be ready to rejoice with those who rejoice. Rest in his timing, his distribution of gifts, his giving. And be humble and trust in your Father in heaven. Remember our text today says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Be wise in your own opinion. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Look what he's doing and what he's given you. Walk in the truth. Know the truth. Rest in the Lord and be excited and look forward to the rejoicing that is to be had in your life and in one another. Amen. Now as we enter this time of confession today, let us all examine ourselves. It's what we're going to do. It's what we do. We take a moment of silence to meditate and consider our own lives. Whether we in any degree are under the influence of an envious spirit, may we come and confess this. He who is faithful and just will forgive and cleanse us. And let us pray that we would rejoice with those who rejoice, that our souls would be nourished in the work of God, and that body will edify itself in love. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you that you have given us this wonderful gift that when your blessings come and flow, when there's something to be honored and rejoice in, we can join in with our brothers and sisters. Oh, Father, keep far from us a spirit of envy, a spirit of jealousy, a spirit of disdain even for that which is happening to our brother and sister. Father, push that away, we pray, as we confess this to you, God. Make us pure and blameless before you, Father, that we may enter into the work that you are doing in your kingdom and rejoice in that. Father, we thank you for this. We take a moment now to individually confess our sins to you.